WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
Hey guys, this is Renee Paquette.
This is Kane from WWE.
This is WWE Superstar Drew McIntyre.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Valor Twins.
This is Christopher Daniels, and what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are...
And it is awesome!
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire!
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host...
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you.
Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell...
Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping. And I brought me some corn for popping.
Evening, everyone. Welcome to the Rack right here on Wild.
Let it snow.
When we finally, that was the wrong Discord message.
How I'll hate going out in a storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm.
Just go at this point.
Just go. Well, I might read the music. Okay, anyway, do over. Welcome to The Rack, everybody. We're brought to you by our friends over at MEGfilmsYouTube.com/MBD1211. And if you're listening to us over on RockRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button on the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the right away, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. Joining me is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
I didn't get a chance to flip the main thing because I was waiting to do it, and then she starts going. I was like, did I type it without typing the word go? It shoots off to the... I was like, I feel like I'm missing a step in the process.
I haven't done that in a long time. No, I... Okay, so when you're doing the intro... I have Discord minimized, right?
Yeah.
So I listened for the Discord ding. I got a Discord ding, but it was in another group. And I didn't think that it would be in the other group. And so I heard the Discord ding, and automatically, like, my brain just went, oh, hey, it's time to start the show. Which I was like, that felt a little early. It's still kind of loud. He didn't, like, slide it down yet, but all right. Whatever. Like, I know the signs at this point. I know when the music starts to go down that the Discord thing's coming.
Right, because it's
half the time. I knew you'd come.
Hi, Leontrux just subscribed with Prime. Hi.
Hi. Hi,
Sarah.
Hi, Sarah. Ding messages kind of screw people up. So, Here we are.
Yeah.
Anyway, chat. Yeah, it's fine. The Royal Rumble entry contest is here. Just say I'm in, and then you're in. We'll do the drawing this weekend on WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. As we have a few spots remaining, so if you know people who would like to be participate, just tag them and tweet them at Wild Talk Radio, and they can be entered into the WTR Fantasy or the WTR Royal Rumble entry contest. So yeah, that's the deal on that one. So I didn't get a high. Wow. Okay. Anyway, so we got stuff to do. We're talking Monday Night Raw tonight.
We are talking Monday Night Raw. By the way, we had this conversation, but in case you're wondering why there's music that's talking about Let It Snow, well, there is a massive snowstorm headed for pretty much the eastern seaboard in the southeast and everywhere in the east at some point this weekend. Godspeed, everybody. Remember, do not lick the flagpoles. I repeat, if it's Arctic cold, do not lick the flagpole. Okay. All right. Are we all on the same page with that?
No, good. I don't think we're on the same page with that because it's gonna be a cold one.
It's gonna get chilly. I saw somewhere that like Ontario is supposed to be the coldest place on Earth this weekend.
That's impressive.
I was like, how cold is it gonna get there? Because no, that's just a no. You'll take your 40s and no rain. What's really weird is in the 40s here right now. So that's why I'm kind of hoping that it's not really going to do as much as they say. Because I live in Georgia, right? I live in Georgia. I have been punked out by this kind of weather before. And that's why I kind of keep sitting here and I'm like, okay, is this going to be is this like blizzard of 93 bad for people that understand that reference when Atlanta got I think 6 inches of snow and all hell broke loose? Or is this going to be like Snowmageddon where we got like an inch of ice and literally everything shut down? And that's why everybody makes fun of us for the snow now is because of Snowmageddon. So it's like, or is it just going to be nothing? Because I was looking at the temperatures and I'm like, well, it's supposed to get cold and supposed to ice, but it's not going to stay what I would consider cold, right? So it's like, I don't know. But you're going to have a fun time, aren't you?
We're getting batches of snow in the teens. So that's going to be a fun thing. Northern Minnesota is supposed to get down to negative 55. Stay warm.
Stay warm, everybody.
Layer up. Warm. It's going to be a cold one as we move forward. So that should be a fun time for everyone's going to be so excited.
Yeah. Yay. So everybody stay safe. Everybody stay warm. Don't do anything foolish. If you do not know how to drive on ice and snow, I don't care where you're from. I don't care what you grew up with. You know, if you don't deal with ice and snow every single day, don't go out in it. Don't be one of those dumbasses that ends up on the internet sliding downhill in your car with no traction and you hit trash cans and light poles and everything else because you thought you could be brave and, drive on the snow. If you don't deal with it, don't go out.
Remember as kids, we liked this type of weather. We were like, yeah, snow. We can build snowmen and go sledding and all the thing.
I didn't have that. We prayed for.
Right. You guys didn't have that.
When we got this kind of weather, which was very few and far between, but when we would get it, I distinctly remember sitting by the radio listening for them to cancel school.
Yes.
Because I had a radio in my room, and as I was getting ready for school, I would wait and listen for them to call for my county to be closed. And the problem was that the assholes that ran the school board when I was in school would almost never call a snow day. Now they get early dismissal at the very thought of snow, and that's primarily because of Snowmageddon when everybody got stuck. Now they're like, we're not even going to fuck with it. Do not fuck with, just send everybody home.
Budgets now say, hey, it's cheaper not to open the school for the day. So we're not going to open the school for the day. Back in the day, before you go on, back in the day, not even the cancellation, they'd make you get up to see if you're open for 2 hours later. There was a line where was, is it enough snow to be canceled or is it a 2 hour delay? And when you always get the 2 hour, too. You get the 2 hour delay. It's like,
It's like, do I have to? Do I really have to go 2 hours later? Do I have to? Or can we just not even mess with this? Because that's just stupid. You know, it's just so foolish to be like, oh yeah, I have to go in 2 hours later. But now now they can cancel it because they can do online. So now it's like, if the weather is going to be bad, they're like, screw it. We're just going to do online learning and everybody stay home.
Because it counts the days. So we're back in the blizzard of 1996 here, we had like, there was like one or two, like maybe like a week or so, we were off from school. So they tack it out on at the end of the school year. So instead of getting out mid-June, it was the end of June. So that sucked.
They would, I think, I'm trying to remember, we never got to use our snow days. Or they would never let us out early because of the snow days. We always felt we should get to bank them. Because it's like, well, we never use them every year. So I can't remember if they would let us out a little early because they wouldn't use them. Or if they were just like, yeah, no, get fucked. But I just remember it was because it was like, there would be days that my mom was like, no, we're not doing this. You're not going in. But yeah, it's like if they could get the buses through, they would send them out. And the problem for me was I lived at the very top of a hill when I was a kid. And so like if it iced, we weren't getting down the hill. That was just it. So my parents would have to go, like, if they said school was open, my parents would go look at the street and they would be like, yeah, no, we can't get out. So you're not going. It's like, yeah. But my parents, that was like, again, few and far between. And my parents would be like, nah, we can risk it for the biscuit. You're good. Go. It's like, damn.
You walked uphill both ways barefoot in the snow. You would have those stories.
Not quite. It was more like, I walked uphill. Huh?
I always love we used to walk barefoot uphill both ways in the snow and the rain. Yeah. Right.
See, what's really funny, and I know we're sidetracking the show completely, but what was really funny was that when I was a kid and we lived on a hill, and it was a fairly steep hill. Used to have to walk up that thing every day during school and haul a book bag with you that's full of like school books. So it's probably like what, 10, 15 pounds of books, you know, on your back that you're trudging uphill. And I always used to complain to my parents about it, how like it was a lot, right? Because, like, you get to the top of the hill, and then the way they had built the street was, like, it had an additional little crest at the top that you had to go over before you could get up to, like, the cul-de-sac where we lived. And my parents didn't believe me until they got on this, like, fitness kick. And they're like, oh, we're going to start walking, and we're going to walk up the hill, right? And I'm like, yeah, good luck with that. And, like, they started that, and they looked at me, and they were like, you weren't kidding about that. And I was like, fuck around and find out. That's all I'm going to say. Like, you think I was lying? The hill sucks. It's like the best day ever when like we could convince the bus driver to go up the hill and like let us out at the top of the hill. It was like, yay, we don't have to walk up it. But yeah. Anyway, sidetrack. Everybody stay safe that's going to be impacted. Do not go lick light poles or flag poles. Go play in the snow.
I mean, that is the biggest story of the week, presented as always by MBGFilms, youtube.com/MBG1211.
Ding.
That is
so let's get into the actual wrestling news, which is that for WWE, SmackDown will be on Sci-Fi for February 13th and 20th. I'm assuming there is a sporting event and that is why it's being deferred.
The Olympics.
Aha.
There will be winter Olympic events happening on the USA Network on those Friday nights. So SmackDown will move to the Sci-Fis.
So there you go. So if you want your wrestlings, go to Sci-Fi for 2 weeks in February.
What's weird is we're going to go from the Super Bowl on the 8th, right?
Mm-hmm.
Straight into the Olympics. Like, once it's over, they're going to go more into Olympic events right after the football game's over.
Well, yeah, they kind of have to.
Yeah,
I don't think they get a lot of choice in that.
No, like, legitimately, the moment the game ends, not like the next day. That's the show following it. It's going to be the Olympics.
That's just too much sports. I'm sorry. They could have waited a day. Like, you could have waited 24 hours. There was no need to, like, do those back-to-back. There really wasn't.
Because I think...
Because here's the thing.
The Olympics... Yeah, the Olympics... The opening ceremony was on that Friday on the 6th. So, time difference because it's in, what, Milan? That's why...
Yeah. Well, it'll be pre... Yeah, so it'll be, like, when the Super Bowl ends.
That's 10
It might be morning and... It might be morning in Europe. It's tricky, depending on the time difference. But yeah, like, y'all could have waited just a day. Because I'm sorry, nobody's going to watch the Olympics after the Super Bowl.
No,
unless you're super into the Olympics.
People will, because it's going to draw its best ratings. I mean, 27 million people watch shows that they'd only care about after the Super Bowl. It's a great time slot. You just leave the TV on. That's the best ratings.
Well, yeah, because nobody's actually paying attention to it.
Exactly.
It's everybody celebrating or sobbing or packing up the party or what have you after the Super Bowl. And, you know, nobody's actually watching the TV. I did see that Green Day, or is it Green Day or is it Fall Out Boy, is opening the Super Bowl.
I don't know. I did not hear either one.
I thought I heard, I know it's one of them, but I heard they're opening and I was like, ooh, I would be down for both. That would be awesome. If they show ice skating, it will be a ratings boom, probably.
That would be the
probably move. But moving on with wrestling news, Tommaso Ciampa has announced that he is leaving WWE. This is of his own volition. His contract is coming up and he has opted not to re-sign. He put out a very heartfelt message to everybody involved in WWE, to his family, to the fans, thanking everyone for their love and for their support. He thanked WWE for the time. He put out his booking link, so if you want to book Tommaso, you can once his contract expires. But this is sad, but honestly not surprising.
So he spent 10 years with WWE. He has one decade left. He's been in wrestling for 2 decades at this point, so he's 1 decade left, and he wants to go out on his own and figure it out and take independent bookings and do signings and conventions and all the thing. He hit a point in WWE where I believe we're going to do an age check on Ciampa. Ciampa is 40. WWE has kind of pigeoned him as a tag team guy.
Yep.
And there's nothing wrong with that. But he had the one thing about the black and gold era is you told a majority of the stories in it where wrestlers had their biggest moment.
Yeah.
So when they come up to the main roster and they're just mid-carding around for a while, it kind of feels like they're being left just really not living up to what they've done in the past, because the black and gold era was competing. They were trying to be bigger than the main roster and were having better matches than the main roster at points at its peak. So to them, it was, we're just going to bust our ass and go forth and conquer. When you've already told all the stories, you've been multiple time champions, you kind of get to a point where it's like, what do you do now? What story is he chasing? Tommaso is a great wrestler. Should he be given the world in WWE? Yes. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it just doesn't happen. And DIY had a great last 18 months on the main roster together. They won the belts. They did a lot of fun things. Had some great matches with a lot of great teams. But he goes, okay, now what? Once you've done everything, now what are you going
to
do?
I think the problem, too, was like the novelty of Tommaso, and this is not an insult to him at all, but the novelty of Tommaso, at least in WWE, was always in DIY. Whether that was when he was getting along with Johnny or when he was feuding with Johnny. And that was always the big story. It's very similar to Kevin and Sammy, right? Where he has this fantastic rivalry friendship with Johnny. And that's really where his character centers. And the problem is that WWE could never find that next great opponent for him. They could never find that next great story for him outside of DIY. And after a while, it's kind of like, look, we're just going to stick you with Johnny. This is where you do best. And it is what it is. Does it suck for him? Yeah. Because, you know, Tommaso is, as you said, a fantastic performer, a fantastic wrestler. But, you know, again, if they aren't going to take him any further than where he's currently at, why stay? Especially when you can go out and you can potentially make as much money, if not possibly more, doing cons and indies and everything else. Because that's the whole thing about the con circuit that they don't talk about, is you can make some pretty decent money. You make some shit money, but you can make some decent money on the con circuit.
Especially the first year.
Plus, he can do cameos. He could probably start streaming on Twitch, like, or YouTube.
I don't think he'll do a Twitch thing, but the first year on the indie scene, on the cons,
he's gonna make
bank. Because he's former WWE superstar Tommaso Ciampa. You put that in there for a year, you make bank. Will he go to AEW? Maybe. But if he goes to AEW? No. When did he leave?
I thought he got let go, didn't he? And they re-signed him. Because like he got let go and then I think Johnny left. Or vice versa.
I don't think he left. I don't remember.
Hold on.
No, he's always been under contract. Injuries were his thing.
Okay.
So one point on guys like Ciampa and stuff. And this is where WWE has to change things. And I think with this next set of call-ups they are that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're down in NXT and you're featured as the attraction, and then you come up to the main roster and then you're stuck in the low to mid-card, you're not the same person. When you're brought up to the main roster and they know you're ready, you got to be in the main event. You got to be in the upper mid-card right off the bat, because you have to present yourself like you were being presented down there. What they've done with Trick since he came up to the main roster is they put him in the ring with Randy. They had him do stuff with Randy. And now Sammy, top guys in main event spots. It's all about positioning people. So these next people, because they're going to need stars of the future, main event level talent, you got to be put in a spot where you're treated like you were when you were down in NXT. If you were the guy or girl in NXT, you were the top dude, you got to be treated like the top dude on the main roster and just carry that over. It's why Oba and Trick are the keys to what they're doing. It's why Carmelo struggled before this last run. He wasn't being treated like the guy he was down in NXT because he wasn't given the time. But anyway, if Ciampa goes to the AEW, he'll just be a guy on that roster. I'm not gonna lie.
I hate saying that, but I agree with you completely on that I want to believe that he would go there and he would do very well for himself because he's a very competent individual on his own, but
he will do really well, but he'll just be a guy because they just make everyone a guy. Everyone gets a little bit of a run and then they cool off. And that's what happens because they don't know how to. One thing AEW can't do is elevate people.
They're really there for the splash and for the pop. And that's what they're there for. They are very consistent, and we want the moment. We want the shock factor. And so they bring people in purely for the, oh my God, who's here kind of thing, you know, where it's like you have Tony Schiavone screaming about, oh my God, look who's here kind of thing. So it's like, I feel like that's what they're really, their niche is. And then there's no follow-up plan for when that person comes in. Like, there's no creative generally ready for them or waiting for them when they come in. It's just, we're going to bring you in, we're going to put you under contract, we're going to get our clips for social, we're going to get our sound bites, we're going to get our impressions on social, and then we'll figure it out later. And I feel like that's kind of their strategy, especially when they're bringing people in, because it's, well, we'll find something for you. But how many times have we seen it where somebody has gone over there and they've just sort of been left to the wayside after a while, or even initially, where it's like they'll just come in and nothing happens with them. And then we find out like a year or two later that they're leaving. So it's when their contract's up. So like, if he goes over there, I hope he makes a splash. I hope they would do something with him. I would hope that they would make him into the star that we all know he is. But if they don't, that is tragic and unfortunate. I think he would be smart enough about it, Tommaso, to kind of look at that and figure out what his next steps are. Because I think if AEW were to offer him enough money, I think he would do it. But I don't believe he's doing this specifically for the money. He's doing this because I have 10 years left in wrestling before I'm going to retire. I want to have as many experiences as I can and wrestle as many people as possible before I retire, and do it in as many places as I can before I go. And I feel like that's what this really is. Is it's, okay, I did the WWE thing, I did the indies, then I went to WWE, I sat in WWE for 10 years, did all that, accomplished most of what he probably wanted to accomplish. I'm sure he didn't get everything, but he got a lot, I'm sure, at least I hope. And now it's, I'm going to go back out on the indies and I'm going to do my thing out on the indies. Right. So I hope it works out for him. Like, I hope he gets everything he wants out of this. Genuinely.
We shall see.
We shall see. Moving on. Speaking of AEW, Trey Miguel, in rather dubious circumstances, was released from his AEW contract. This is a pretty big story.
Think before you tweet.
What did he say? In like generalized, if it's bad.
I don't know exactly what he said. Think before you tweet. That's the best way to describe it. Because when you look back in things you tweet, and they're either religious or political or a combination of, companies go, huh, maybe you shouldn't say that. And with the way people search your history these days, it comes back to haunt you, especially if you're a public figure.
Mm-hmm.
He was so from all aspects, he was perfectly good in TNA. He He owned up to things he said and was a good employee there. But it was one reason why he never made it to WWE when they were interested in the Rascals.
Because they looked at his Twitter history and they went, oh no. Oh no, because they do check that.
And this was not an AEW call. This was a call from above, a Warner Brothers Discovery call, which they are a minority owner of AEW. So,
and they also hold AEW's television contracts. So, you know, they get final say kind of on things.
They got final say, and he's taking a step back. So we shall see. What's next
for him?
He can go back to TNA and work the indies, whatever. It's not a reflection of who he is now. It's a reflection of what he did in the past.
Yes. And here's the thing, guys. You achieve any level of fame or notoriety, the first thing you do, you delete your Twitter profile. Like, all your posts on your Twitter, you delete everything on your social media. Wipe it. Because this is why. But even just as, like, a general rule, if you're trying to get employed, like, employers check that stuff. They look at your social. Like, that is the best way to find out who somebody is by their social media and, like, sort of what they're into and that kind of thing. So if you're out there posting all kinds of, like, questionable things to the positive or the negative, it's kind of like, I don't know. And that can cost you. Like, that can hurt you. That's why you don't do that kind of stuff. You just don't do it. Okay.
And in other news, awesome. Trey Miguel has re-signed with Impact Wrestling or TNA Wrestling tonight.
Oh, good for him. See, he's found a landing spot.
After he made a surprise return tonight on Impact, on AMC.
A shocking return that nobody saw coming. Anyway.
That puts the bow on that one.
Well, at least he found a landing spot. So
he did.
We can be happy for that, I guess. But in other unfortunate news, Powerhouse Hobbs is also no longer under AEW contract.
His contract came up, dropped the belt, he's out. You never know where he may end up next. The street said he could be in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, in 9 days.
I mean, he could be. It's possible.
You know, could happen. Anything's possible.
Anything is possible. But in happier news, Zeta Steel, Alec Price, and Jordan Oliver have all signed with AEW, so congratulations to them.
Yep. We talked about last week, they let three people go. They brought in a bunch more. They brought, six people in, got rid of four, you know. What AEW does.
But Powerhouse Hobbs, isn't he one of the originals?
Or close to? He was close to. He was one of the first actual originals they brought in. Like, he worked his way up.
Yeah.
But he's been there four or five years.
Yeah, so sad. But again, I'm sure he's on to bigger and better things. Moving on to TNA, in addition to them signing Trey Miguel. The Righteous have also officially signed with TNA Wrestling.
They've been working there.
So congratulations to them.
They've been working there for a few weeks, and now they're officially under contract. So,
I'm trying to figure out, is it like a culty thing? Is that what it is? Because I know it's Vincent.
Yeah.
Like, I know he's the ringleader of it, but it's like a culty thing?
Kind of, yeah.
Like, I've seen stuff of it, and I'm, like, trying to figure out what it is, and I'm like, okay.
I haven't seen a lot of it, so I can't really give it to you what the answer is, but yeah, that's what it kind of came off as.
Okay. Chat, is it a culty thing? Does anybody know?
Oh, congrats.
Does anybody know about the Righteous?
Congrats to TNA for doing a decent rating for their debut, even though it was apparently the worst show of all time because there was a lot of commercials. People weren't happy about it. I think TNA does TNA things. The Righteous has a gimmick persona as they're like cult-like figures.
Because it started kind of when the Wyatt family was big. I remember that. Like, it just kind of cropped up out of nowhere when Bray was doing Bray things. And I was like, oh, it's another culty gimmick. But it's kind of evolved, I think, over time.
It's a culty preaching type thing.
Virtues. Okay.
I think.
All right. Interesting. I just want to say this. Wrestling fans need to get over commercials.
No, they had every right to complain about these. It cut out a lot of the in-ring action. They were very heavy.
But TNA doesn't necessarily control that. That's network.
That is network. That is also, TNA could have done a better job of spacing things out. They had a lot of issues with the first show where talent couldn't make it because of visa issues that they had to get worked out, which just got worked out. So they scrambled to mix and match a show, and then, like, Leon Slater, who was the X Division champion, he was stuck overseas because of the visa issues, and then he appeared on SmackDown because he was, because they were overseas, so he was able to work there because he couldn't come here to work.
Got it.
So it's a lot of stuff. Lance Storm, who's the producer, just got his visa cleared, but couldn't make it to the tapings because it makes no sense to fly him 12-hour flight in with the weather. So there's a bunch of things like that just going on.
I hope they don't get stuck. Like, that would suck.
They'll be, they should, everyone should be fine where they're at.
Because, are they still over in Europe on Monday, or are they back?
Everyone's back. WWE is back. Okay. Or they're on their way back, because they're going to Canada for TV. Toronto and Montreal.
Ooh.
It's not best either, but they're going to, they're elite. So, all right, before we go to break, because we got to get there. WWE just did a tour in Germany and Ireland. So they come back from there.
Mm-hmm.
They're now going to Canada to then fly out to Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. But there's, I think there's a thing. Yeah, that would be, yeah, that should be it. Yeah, because Canada is tomorrow. They're in Montreal tomorrow and Saturday for Saturday night's main event. And then they go to Toronto. And then they leave Toronto to go to Saudi.
That's some traveling, man. That's some shitty traveling.
It's been a, they've been working a lot, which they've all liked. But it's,
oh, I'm sure they've all liked it, but still, it's like, man, you mean I gotta go? It's like, you're in Europe, so you're actually in a better position to go to Riyadh if you're in Europe than you are from Toronto. So, like, it's like, you couldn't book Canada before Saudi? Like, you couldn't do that?
No, because they had to come back and do stuff, and then here we are. Anyway, we gotta go to break.
We gotta go to break. So when we come back, we are gonna be talking all about Monday Night Raw. We'll let you know who won, who lost, and what happened as we head towards the Royal Rumble. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back.
What is everybody love?
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR Live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. I mean Prime Gaming. Or maybe it's just Prime. It's the easiest way to support us for free.
This just into the CB Radio News Desk. Sources have confirmed that CB Radio will be live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wasn't this confirmed last year?
Yes.
Then how is this breaking news?
No one said it was breaking news. We here at the CB Radio News Desk are just confirming what has already been confirmed.
To confirm, you are just confirming that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed. We would like to remind you, always trust the source that confirms that CB Radio is live Saturday nights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Confirmed.
Confirmed.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
Every Sunday night, the evolution continues with Wrestle Talk Radio, giving you all the latest happenings in sports entertainment. With the intern, the producer, the original Tim Stein, and sometimes, a K-Sheet. It's WTR Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, once Monday Night Raw ends, the Raw post show goes live.
You want to hear a story? Give me a hell yeah!
Join Lindsay and Sir Rockin' as they give their opinions on what they liked,
what?
What they didn't like,
what?
And what left them completely confused.
What?
It's the Raw post show.
What?
Monday nights.
What?
Once Monday Night Raw ends.
What?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And that's the bottom line. Go Stone Cold Simpson.
Did you know you can use supported creator code Rockin' Sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop. That's a hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you are listening to The Rack Radio Show on Wild Talk Radio.
Back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RockRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a free sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free. It is that simple. You can also subscribe the regular way, follow the channel, hang out and chat, or listen to the archive. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. And with that, we are doing the Raw post show on a Thursday. Where we're going to talk all about Monday Night Raw and what transpired.
Yes, it's a Thursday. Things happened on a Monday, but they were overseas. But guess what? They're back in, as we just mentioned, they're back in the Eastern time zone.
Yay!
So Raw will kick off at a normal start time this Monday, which means the post-show returns. Because next week we're doing the Royal Rumble review, or Royal Rumble preview on the show. Anyway.
Let's go.
Which, by the way, the Royal Rumble Pick'em Contest is open. Just tweet us at Wild Talk Radio saying I'm in, and then you are in. Speaking of the Royal Rumble, we kind of learned the future of the Royal Rumble. A lot of people declared, including Jey Uso declared that he's in the Royal Rumble. One of many.
He did.
Men and women who shot their shot and said, hey, we're in the Royal Rumble. I wanted to get him out of the way because he really didn't say much other than going back to back, four words. Anyway, so he did that. But another man who decided that he was going to announce and declare that he's in the Royal Rumble was Gunther. He talked about lasting 71 minutes and 40 seconds last year. He talked about putting Goldberg to sleep, making John Cena tap out, and he's going to win the Royal Rumble. This brought out AJ Styles. Styles knew Gunther wanted to move on, but he doesn't, because of what happened last week, where he got the better of Gunther. AJ challenges Gunther to a rematch at the Royal Rumble. Gunther said he's going to win a Royal Rumble and doesn't want to pull double duty, so no. AJ told Gunther, you're scared. You didn't beat me last week. You only won because I showed you mercy and that you tapped out like a little bitch. Styles said to Gunther to say if he was scared and then they could just move on. Gunther said he proved that he's smarter and a better wrestler than AJ last week. There's no point in wrestling AJ again. So the answer is no. Gunther started to leave, but then stopped. But, you know, maybe. There might be something that Styles could do. AJ just kept going, name it. Do it. Whatever. Name it. If you really want this rematch at the Royal Rumble, you have to put your career on the line. Gunther told AJ to think about it, whether that's a hill he's willing to die on. And he wants his answer by the end of the night. And the answer by the end of the night was that it's official. AJ Styles is putting his career on the line against Gunther at the Royal
Rumble.
Now, logic would state that they could absolutely punk us out with this and AJ could win, right? Like, it's a false alarm. He's not going to lose. He's going to win, right? And they keep him going. But there is always that possibility that AJ's like, I'm done. I'm out. Because you don't just...
He said it's his final year in wrestling.
And we don't know how much he has left. And honestly, it could be that maybe he's like, I'm done in WWE. I've done everything I wanted to do. I faced everyone I wanted to face. I don't really have anything else to do here, but that maybe he goes back and he finishes his time in TNA. Because again, WWE and TNA, they have that relationship. AJ could very easily just go over there and finish out. WWE gets the retirement match out of their company, and then he goes and he finishes his career in TNA. That's been a highly speculated upon thing. It's like, it's where he started, it's where he could easily finish, and they wouldn't even have to let him out of his contract to do it. He could just be on loan until he's done.
He could.
And then they work it all out. Like, that is the beauty of that partnership right there. And then TNA gets that boost of the OG face that runs the place, the man that really built TNA on his back and carried it, gets to retire where he started. And that's pretty freaking cool for him. Like, I love him. Like, love that for him. But he could also say, you know what? I'm done. That's it. I'm out. You know, I've wrestled my last match. I want to go home to my four kids and my wife and just chill. He could do that too. I'm a little surprised they're doing it this early, which is why it's kind of like, is he going to go to TNA? Is that what's about to happen? Because it seems like I know not everyone's going to get the Cena run where they get the full year, but it's like at least eight for AJ. It's like you figured it would be after Mania.
You figured to go to Mania, yeah. But
so it's a little surprising.
It is a little surprising, yeah. But we'll see if they actually pull the trigger on that one. I'm not sure.
I don't know. Like, I legitimately don't know. It's kind of, you sit here and you go, well, yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
They could.
Possibly. They could. Maybe. I don't know. We'll have to see where it goes. He was invited to SmackDown tomorrow. So, have a conversation with Nick Aldis. Because, you know, AJ used to run that place.
He did. And he could do it again. If you really wanted to.
He could, but it was the Intercontinental title for the women on the line when Maxine Dupri challenged Becky Lynch. This time around, Maxine had Natalya in her corner. This was a solid match. Yeah, like they've all been. Been solid matches. Nothing blow away, but the big story, and what was we were all expecting, we were waiting for the turn.
Mm-hmm.
We were waiting for Natalya to turn, and the turn happened when Maxine almost had the win. But she put Becky's foot on the rope. And then Maxine looked at her and went, what did you just do? Oh my God. And then Becky would then go on to hit the manhandle slam for the win. Then Natalya went on to just beat down Maxine Dupri. Clothesline, sharpshooter, all the things. To, I want to say, a huge reaction. Because it really wasn't. It also felt like something that... I don't know, it was one of those, hey, on paper, thought it was going to be great, but the crowd was like, eh. Because problem with the turn, one, everyone saw it coming, and two, Natty hasn't been on TV. That doesn't help. Because you kind of see it all coming. And three, the beatdown just took way too long. Because it felt like she just kept going for the sake of just going and getting her shots in.
I think part of it was the reason why the beatdown was so long is because Natty hasn't been around, and so you haven't built that tension between the two. And so you have to do something to put a little heat on it. And so it's like, hey, Natty, go out there and absolutely beat the shit out of Maxine for 5 minutes. And like, do something to make the heel turn feel legitimate and not just, oh, it's another Natty heel turn. Okay, all right, cool. Now, if we get the new, like, what she's been doing on the indies, that would be cool. I don't know. But if it's just another Natty heel turn where it's just evil Natty, then it's like, all right, okay. So we'll see what we get from this. But I think that's honestly why they did it was it's like, well.
They were also expecting the reaction. They were expecting a huge reaction. They wanted the big pops, the big explosions from the crowd, and they just didn't get them. And that's kind of what killed it.
Well, okay, but here's the thing. You did nothing to build to it. Having Natty show up last week on TV, and, you know, after Maxine is essentially gone on this massive solo run and sort of left Natty to the side when they were a tag team, you haven't had Natty with her on this journey this entire time. That's part of the problem. Like, it would feel more natural. It would feel more, like, reactionary if it's like, oh, they're the best buds, and, you know, Natty's been supporting Maxine this whole way against her feud with Becky, and then all of a sudden, oh my god, shock of shocks, Natty betrayed her best friend, Natty, you stinker. You know, it's that kind of stuff that they're like, that's what they want, but they didn't build for it. They didn't do anything to set it up. They just did it, right, for pure shock factor, thinking everybody was going to give a damn about it, and they didn't. Because again, you didn't give us a reason to give a damn. It's like, them building Maxine and them putting Maxine on a little bit of a run and them giving her a title and having her go against Becky has been a wonderful thing for her. I love that for her because it's like she deserves it. She's worked hard and she's proven that she can do this. Is she the best at it? No. But she has improved tenfold since she first started with the company. And that deserves to be cheered and rewarded and highlighted, right? And that's what they did. And they were building something with Maxine. Was she ever going to be on the level of a Becky? Maybe, maybe not. It's hard to say. But they were building a little bit of momentum with her. But I think that momentum had also kind of sort of started to roll out.
This would have been a better off. It would have been a better finish or the title change, where she actually cost her something, cost her the title. This should have been done 2 weeks prior, but they waited, and that's fine. But it would have been, it would have played better if Maxine's worked this hard and she's get this, she's finally got to put an end to Becky Lynch once and for all, and then Natty costs her everything. Instead, Natty cost her the rematch, but not the actual title.
Yeah.
And it would have played better the other way. But you live and you learn.
You do.
There was a 6-man tag team match on the show. It was Bronson Reed, Logan Paul, and Austin Theory of the Vision taking on Rey Mysterio, Penta, and Dragon Lee. What made this one interesting? Paul Heyman was talking to Adam Pearce backstage, and Adam Pearce is like, you know, I'm going to be at ringside for this one to watch, make sure nothing happened. So he did that. He was making sure nothing happened because there's brass knuckles that were getting involved. And he stopped Austin Theory from using them, where I believe it was, or Logan Paul, whoever it was, stopped it from happening. And then he's getting yelled at by Paul Heyman, and then Rey Mysterio picked up the brass knucks, and while no one's looking, it punched Austin Theory in the head,
like you do,
allowed his team to get the win. And then Paul Heyman's out there texting somebody who, I guess, on a blog, on Logan's blog, was someone that Triple H didn't even want me to call. So everyone on the internet went, did he call Dwayne? He called Dwayne. He must have called Dwayne. Or it's nothing. He didn't actually call Dwayne. But he could have called Dwayne. The Rock's coming back for WrestleMania season. Woo! He's going to be in the room. Bye.
Am I the only one that doesn't want The Rock to come back?
Right now, he doesn't need to come back. He should come back for one final match.
Well, I mean, it's like after last year where he did the turn and then nothing material. Since, and it's like he had that run with Cody, and then they were kind of revving up with something for Cena, but then it's just, it was like, this is kind of bullshit, because he showed up like for the Cena turn and that was it. We didn't see him again. He never came back. It's like, yeah. He did that one thing and then he never came back, and he was never a factor ever again. And it was like, I think my one grief with it was like, even if Travis Scott didn't work out, right, like even if, you know, for whatever reason there were problems and Travis Scott wasn't going to be around, the very least you could have done was had Dwayne there, right? Doing Dwayne things. Like, you could have just written Travis Scott out of the story. Easy enough, and put it all on Dwayne and have Dwayne carry it. And they didn't do that for whatever reason. And it's kind of like, why?
Because Dwayne was Dwayne was busy in Hollywood he was trying to do Hollywood things, and he did not get his Oscar nomination.
He didn't get it?
No.
Oh.
He got the Golden Globe nod. But he didn't get the Oscar nod.
Well, he's getting warmer. I mean, he's getting warmer.
He got closer, but he didn't get the, because the Oscar nominations came out today. He did not get the nod.
Well, I heard there were some like really serious snubs, but I didn't go look to see who didn't get nominated. Like, I heard Wicked for Good didn't hardly get nominated at all, or if any, which was kind of surprising.
But I think at some point Dwayne comes back for the final send off, because he has to get the, Dwayne needs to officially retire so they can Hall of Fame him and all the things. But I think Dwayne's, you don't bring him back for this run because You don't need them because they teased too much last year with the Netflix premiere. Then he went to NXT, and it's like, he's going to do something, and then he didn't do nothing. He kind of shook hands with Cody and ended the story without talent finishing the story, and then moved on to doing the thing with Cena, and then he decided not to be a part of it after that point, and then went back to Hollywood, which is all right, but it kind of left a bad taste on people's mouths. So I think it's tough for two. Anyway, we'll save that for another time. Russell, because the talk of Russell. No, no. 43 would suck if that's where it ends. That's all I'll say. 43 would suck if that's where it ends.
When he comes back and he does his last match at 43?
Yeah.
I mean, good. He's not getting any younger.
Right. But it would feel weird if that's where it goes. Because of where
I think
where it's taking place at. Where is it? 40, no, or 40, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, because 43 is in Saudi.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to steer away from that. Yeah.
It could be, but at the same time, I don't know. Like, they could do it this year, but with you having Cena's retirement and AJ's retirement, potential retirement so close, I don't think they're going to have Dwayne, although Dwayne can do whatever he wants. I think just for me, it's just because of the disappointments in the last two stories that he's done, it's like, I'm not excited to see him. And that's not necessarily a reflection on him, it's a reflection on the incomplete creative. And it's like, I don't understand how you expect me to get excited and care about the story that you're preparing to tell if he's going to fuck off halfway through it or in the very beginning, or we're going to get no ending to it, right? You're just going to abandon it. And it's the ending is, I got tired of writing this, so I'm just going to have Dwayne and Cody shake hands and that's it. Like, you had a whole, that had legs. That had serious legs, and they just wrote it off. And you, like, if even if they go back to it, it's not going to have that same fervor to it because the moment's gone. That's the thing. The moment's gone. Like, you built to this whole moment of Dwayne versus Cody, and we didn't ever get it.
Right. Because you shook your hand, you did the thing, and then you went back to it a month later, or a month and a half later, where it's like, I want your soul. And then he didn't sell the soul and then bailed. It was WWE hoping they had him, and then Dwayne his way out of it because he didn't like the situation. And I think if he went out at 40, that was the way out. That was the ender. He got the win over Cody, but then they got the comeuppance in the next night. Taker chokeslams him out. That's a good finisher. You're done if you can't come back. But he came back at Bad Blood, and they kind of teased something, and then there was nothing for it, and then they just did a thing, and there was a lot of hope Dwayne would do something, but then Dwayne, no disrespect to Dwayne, he chose Hollywood. He wanted the statues, so he dropped his weight and now did a Scorsese movie after he did the Smashing Machine so he could be an actor. He wants the pretty statue. Go for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's every actor's dream, right, is to win the Oscar. And he would be, I think, if he wins the Golden Globe, I think he'll be the very first WWE superstar to win a Golden Globe. And if he gets the Oscar, the same thing. Like, that's a big achievement.
It's big. In
both worlds, especially considering the fact that he doesn't come from a traditional acting background. And it's always kind of been a joke about, you know, the action movies and the Tooth Fairy and the Scorpion King and how he's built his way up from sort of having some not so great films to now being in a Scorsese movie and getting a Golden Globe nomination. And it shows his growth and his journey and how hard he's worked to get there. And kudos to him. Like, goddamn, Dwayne, good for you. Like, you've put in the effort and the recognition is awesome for you. I love that for you. But like, at the same time, it's, you have to pick one and you have to focus on one. I get he wants to do everything, but one is going to suffer if you do both. And we all know, everybody knows that if you're statue chasing, the wrestling is going to suffer. That's just it. And that's what happened. And so it's like, I just can't get ginned up for him. I just can't do it. It's like, oh, yay, it's The Rock. Woo! Kind of thing. It's like, I'm happy to see him. It's always fun to see him. Like, promos are always cool. But like, at the same time, it's so... How's this going to go this time? Are you actually going to stick around and we're going to get a good story? Are you just going to kind of sort of leave like you did the last two times? You know, is that because that's how it's been pretty much since he left for Hollywood. Is he comes and he goes. It's like when Cena left. It's like Cena would come and go and he would do his appearance and he'd wave his little hat and he'd hit his lines and his five moves of doom and then he'd be gone. Like, it's always nice to see him. They're a featured attraction. But at the end of the day, it's like it's not anything to get necessarily super excited about, right?
Why the run?
Because you know it's not going to last.
But it was
fun. It's temporary.
But the fun was on the road to 40. He delivered on that. And that should have been the swan song. Because he committed on 40. He was there.
He committed on 40. Yes. Every week. I will give him full respect.
Most weeks he was there 40 for the build to the tag match. He was there for everything. He did a lot more than I think people expected. 41, he kind of bailed on everyone and kind of killed his goodwill. Because the road to 40, where they pivoted from Rock and Roman into the tag match and then to Cody and Roman, the goodwill he was losing, he gained back by being around. He committed. He did a full training camp. He did television. He did SmackDowns. He did Raws. At least one a week, right? He was there for the run. He did the WrestleMania build for 40 because it was a big deal. It was the first one under TKO. It was all the thing. And then he killed his goodwill. Anyway, moving on. Because going back in circles. Javon Evans, El Grande Americano, ended in a referee stoppage when they stopped the match for Javon Evans. Looked like he was favoring his shoulder. He was checked out for a concussion. He is okay.
Yay.
But they stopped the match.
Always scary when that happens.
They stopped the match for precautionary reasons because they thought he had a concussion. So instead of him getting, because he got kneed in the head or something, and then he looked a little wobbly, and they decided,
we're stopping it.
Like, he was shaking his shoulder, so it's like, would he injure his shoulder? Because that could have been really bad, but apparently he is okay. He's flown home. Everyone's good. He'll probably take it easy for a week, maybe. Or he's back on TV Monday. Who knows? But they're in an era to be safe, and they're going to do that more often.
I applaud that. Tremendously. Like, I am a large advocate for the wrestlers taking care of themselves and remaining healthy. And if somebody is seriously injured, they should stop the match. And there are plenty of examples of why they should have done that in the past, and they didn't because of varying reasons. So the fact that they stopped the match out of concern for someone's health, that's great. That's fantastic. Whether it's storyline or whether it's real, I will applaud that every time because that's an excellent precedent to set in the sport. Because you don't want people to get hurt. I know the whole idea is that people are supposed to be injured in quotations, but you never want anybody to get injured in real life because that's awful. Nobody wants that. So it's important that the wrestlers take care of themselves, and it's important that the company takes care of the wrestlers. And if they promote that whole ideology of, hey, you matter, you just need to rest and take care of yourself, that's great. And you can tell that WWE has made those steps from the schedule reduction to stopping matches and other things to the concussion protocols, all that stuff. You can tell it matters and the talent are better for it.
So we're back inside the Judgment Day clubhouse for this little bit where Raquel is talking to Liv Marxanne that they don't know how Stephanie Vaquer will be out of action. She's out of action. Raquel referred to herself as Big Sexy, Raquel Rodriguez.
Which was weird.
It was, but she's been playing a Diesel-type character, Kevin Nash, Big Sexy, kind of fit. But she will take the Women's World title when she returns. Liv said 2026 is the year of the Judgment Day. She said Raquel and Finn would be world champions. She thought that Roxanne was a liar and a schemer. But she figured out that she needed her and that they will be the next women's tag team champions. And she asked Finn, how are you feeling? Bayley said they were on his island with the World Heavyweight title on the line, but he wasn't leaving without it. He kind of like trying to figure out who he is, and you kind of saw some reflection in Finn while they were talking. We learned that the New Day will be a part of a four-way match next week for the tag team titles. So let's get a shot at the tag team titles. So that should be fun. We also had Rhea Ripley and Io Sky in the ring. They said once they retain the titles against Liv and Raquel on Saturday Night's Main Event, they will be they will both compete in the Women's Royal Rumble. Liv and Roxanne came out and said Morgan told Sky that Rhea will always turn her back on her tag team partner. I mean, she did it to me, said Liv. She said Rhea's selflessness would get the best of her, leaving her with nothing and no one. And Roxanne announced that her and Liv and Raquel will all be entering the Women's Royal Rumble match, and it will be a member of the Judgment Day who go on
to main event WrestleMania. Rhea then asked how that's going to work if it's all three Judgment Day women in the Royal Rumble match. And that's when Raquel appeared, took down Rhea, took down Io. It was a 3-on-2 beatdown. We had the backstabber on Io, the Hanabomb. Rhea tried to help, but then she got hit with Oblivion, and the Judgment Day women stood tall. Good stuff.
Very good stuff. Very entertaining. I would like to point out to Liv that the whole reason Rhea betrayed you is because you banged Dom and stole him from her. But anyway, sure. Yeah. She turns. I will say this. Could they make Rhea and Io, and I know the answer to this question is yes, but could they make them more Yuri if they try? Could they really do that?
They could.
I'm in. I'm so in for this. But like, it just, the way they were doing the entrance and the looks between them and the way they were touching each other, it's like, ladies. I'm not going to complain, but ladies.
Bailey and Lyra are hyping each other up. They hate losing, but Lyra didn't want to let her friend down. You could never let me down. And they're very excited, you know. One of them can win the Royal Rumble. And also, Kyrie's going to make sure that she helps Asuka win the Royal Rumble. Some more women announced for the Royal Rumble match. Then you had your main event, CM Punk Finn Balor for the World's Heavyweight title. And it wasn't Judgment Day Finn Balor. It was old Balor Club Finn Balor entrance music. He was doing the entrance, missed the cue because he couldn't even hear the music because that's how loud the place was. Finn and Punk had a really good match. Mm-hmm. But it was CM Punk coming out on top. Punk raised Finn's arm, they hugged, they shared some words, and Punk stood tall to end the night. Good show.
It was a very good show. Very entertaining. No real complaints about it at all. I mean, it moved, which I personally loved that it moved. Like, it's interesting watching these after the fact, because I don't watch them when they're live, because I'm at work when they're live, so I'm not supposed to be watching wrestling, right? So it's like watching it after the fact, it's like, I forgot how, like, without the commercials, how short this show is. It's like, it feels like half hour, and the half hour is just the commercials, and that Raw is just 2 hours. Because I was watching it, and it was like, we got to the main, and I was like, oh, wow, it's already over. Goddamn. Okay. All right. Cool.
So, as we go, we've had a theme to this show, if you haven't figured it out. Musically-wise. We opened with Let It Snow. We went to break with Al Snow. We came back with Red Hot Chili Peppers Snow, which means we have one more song to play. Any guesses what snow related song we're going to play?
Snow from White Christmas?
Nope. Snow's Informer. But that'll do it. For the Rack, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The Royal Rumble entry contest is open. Just say I'm in, and then you're in. We'll do the drawing this weekend on WTR Sunday night. Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, we're back for CB Radio. Doing True or False Royal Rumble edition this Saturday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Sunday night, they preview Royal Rumble on Russell Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern. We're back for the Raw Post Show, live whenever Raw ends. Talk all about it this Monday, and the next Thursday we're back live 10 p.m. Eastern for the Rack to preview the Royal Rumble. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, that Rack Radio Show, and all social media platforms. Wherever you get your podcasts, just search the Rack Radio Show chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Just click the purple button below the screen like Sarah did at the start of the show. Support the channel for free. You can use creator code ROCKINSOCK or
Lin's M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop when you buy South Park. And tomorrow night, The Office.
You are so excited.
I am. It's going to be Dwight and Michael from The Office in Fortnite.
The question is, which one are you getting? Or are you getting both?
I don't know. I gotta see what comes with it all. Should be fun. But use the codes, because we're a hashtag epic partner.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lynn's Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lynn's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@Lynn's Ward. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lynn's Ward Zero. And while you're liking and subscribing and following and doing all the things, you can head over to Matt's channel, mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. Go like, subscribe, and tell Matt we said hi. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com. And we will see you next week. Bye. I keep on wondering, come with a nice young lady, intelligent, yes, she jungle in Ari. If a way me go, me never left for a tally. You say that it's no me, I the rum dance man, rum it in a dance, I lay in a nation. You never know, say that I'm a stormy, I the boom shaka, tell me never lay you down flat, and I won't count board banks. You say that I'm a stormy, I go region at the top, so informer. You know, say that I'm a stormy, I go blame. I keep on bum down. WildTalkRadio.com.